Hello and welcome to the House of Commentary. Today we're going to be discussing the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix that took place in Jeddah this last weekend. And with me is Stats.
Hello everyone.
And what we're going to start with is a quick recap of where we were in terms of the actual Grand Prix, in terms of the qualifying, etc. And then we'll talk about the Grand Prix itself. So Stats, if you can just talk us through what happened during qualifying.
So qualifying was a bit of a drama, actually. So Logan Sargeant couldn't get lap time in because he had a mechanical issue. So he was starting from the back anyway.
Wow. So that's actually quite incredible when you think about all the preparation taken in the last sort of 2-3 months. Because remember, the winter break took place.
Yes.
They were preparing. And all of a sudden, they're in the second Grand Prix and they can't even get the car to go around to get a decent lap time.
Yeah, and there was also another breaking news that came up even before the qualifying session.
And what was that?
Ferrari, so obviously in Bahrain, they actually had to replace Leclerc's engine. They actually replaced Sainz's engine as well.
Wow. Okay, so in two replacement engines.
And keep in mind, they're only allowed 2 power units for the whole year.
Oh, wow.
It makes you question what's going on at Ferrari.
Exactly. What happens if they actually have to change it again a third time? What happens?
10 grid penalty.
A 10 grid penalty. So if they actually finish in number one, they go down to 11. Yep.
Ten
places down.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a hell of a difference. Can you imagine if that happened towards the end of the season? That'd be a nightmare.
Yeah. So obviously that's going to happen with Leclerc. That's obviously what happened to Leclerc because in Bahrain, they replaced his engine twice.
Oh, wow.
And the engine that they had to... So he had one engine change and then another engine change. And that second engine change cost him a podium.
Oh, wow. I didn't realise that.
Yeah.
So in the qualifying, obviously there was a drama going on at Ferrari. Was it Stroll that couldn't set a...
Logan Sargeant. The rookie at Williams.
Yeah, he just joined. It's his first year, isn't it, in GP. And he couldn't set a time, which is really embarrassing, isn't it, if you think about it. You'd really want to be able to set a time.
Yeah.
And then what happened? So how did the actual qualifying go?
Well, Norris actually got knocked out of Q1.
Really?
McLaren.
Wow. They always seem to be struggling, don't they?
Yeah. But the biggest shock, I think, came in Q2 when Max Verstappen came on saying that he had a problem with the drive shaft.
Really?
And because of that, he tried to get as much power as he could to get lap time in, but he couldn't. And as a result, he's starting 15th on the grid.
15th?
Yeah. Oh,
wow.
And you can imagine what he must have been going through.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then what happened?
So obviously, because Verstappen was actually number one in the practice sessions, and so obviously he was the hot favourite for the pole position. But with him, you're thinking, okay, who else has a shot?
That's right.
To me, I was actually thinking Alonso might be able to take it.
Really?
Yeah. And I have to say, Aston Martin have done quite well this year, because in Bahrain, they actually finished in the top 10.
It's actually quite amazing when you think about where they're coming from. It's been a long time since they've been in F1. I mean, obviously, they've been sponsors and so on. But to have their own team and to do so well so quickly is really good. It makes a difference, to be honest, because otherwise you're just seeing Mercedes, Red Bull, Ferrari.
I know.
To have this fourth team suddenly come out of nowhere, I think it really makes it very exciting.
Oh, I agree. And then, we mentioned Norris being knocked out Q1. His teammate, Q3. And this is his first season as well.
Yeah, that's amazing as well. So, in terms of the qualifying, who finished in the top five then?
So, the top five was Sergio Perez, Charles Leclerc, but he had the 10th place grid penalty, so he starts 12th.
Yeah.
So that promotes Fernando Alonso to the front row.
Okay.
And then fourth is George Russell, and then fifth is Carlos Sainz.
So where did Verstappen finish?
15th in the qualifying.
Can you explain how he got there? What exactly happened?
So he came on the radio saying there was a problem with his drive shaft,
Okay.
And the drive shaft is actually the part that actually controls the gear changes.
Oh, right.
So he's struggling to change gear.
All right, okay, it's a bit like getting stuck in first gear and not being able to accelerate any faster. Well, that's really bad. So he finished quite low, 15th. That's really low. And he at that at the beginning of the race, at the, before this race started, he was in the top of the rankings, wasn't he, in terms of the
in the qualifying, after the
first, after the first race in Bahrain, he was the top of the drivers' championship. So he must have been gutted, thinking, God, what's going on here? You know,
I mean, he even shouted on the radio saying, what the hell's going on?
Really? So he's got a hell of a race to go. Perez, obviously amazing that he finished on pole, which I think is fantastic for him, especially considering how he finished the previous season.
Yeah.
So it's really good. And was it Alonso again?
Alonso is starting second.
That's actually amazing as well, isn't it? Absolutely phenomenal. No. So come the day of the race, take us through the first few laps and give us an idea of what happened.
So this was actually surprising. The first few laps, Alonso took the lead from Perez on the first corner.
Oh wow!
Yes, sir. And when that happened, I was like, he's finally gonna win a Grand Prix after so long.
Yeah, it's been a long time since he won a Grand Prix.
Yeah, because apparently the last time he won a Grand Prix was in 2013.
Oh wow, 2013, 10 years ago. Yeah. Wow, I hadn't realised he'd been there that long.
I know.
So obviously that was amazing, because I think Perez must have thought, okay, I just get in front, stay in front, and before he knows it, he's second.
Yeah.
Which in itself is that. And how long was he in second for? Was it just for the one lap?
Four laps.
For four laps he was second. Oh my God. I actually saw parts of the race. I didn't see the whole race.
Yeah.
I saw most of the ending, the last five, six laps.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I hadn't realised that Alonso, it must have been amazing that he actually got fast. It must have shocked everybody as well.
I can
imagine the commentator saying, what's going on here?
Yeah.
They're so used to seeing Alonso sort of struggle.
And normally you see Red Bull just blast away from the field.
Exactly. So in terms of Mercedes, how was their start?
So I think their start was actually quite decent because Russell was still in third.
Okay.
But Hamilton, he was having a problem with his tyres warming up.
Oh, right.
And they actually, because Mercedes put him on the hard tyres.
I noticed that, because a lot of the others were on mediums, weren't they? Yeah, it's very strange. I've never really understood why Hamilton always seems to be the odd one out. Every race, he seems to be the odd one out, and it's almost as though things are working against him.
I know.
So as the race progressed, the thing that I remember was obviously after the lap four, Perez took control.
Yes, but it was lap 12, and then the following, and then the worst thing was lap. So I forgot to mention, lap two. Well, as I was looking at the race and following the opening laps, I noticed McLaren was dead last, 20th and 19th.
Yeah.
And if you're a McLaren fan, you're like,
what's going on here? Because you normally see Williams there, don't you?
I know. And I'm pretty sure Ricardo was like, I'm glad it's not me this year.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, we know that he struggled. Yeah. So Perez took control of the race from lap four.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I think everybody was watching was Verstappen.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah, because, I mean, he's 15th. You know he's got a great car, assuming it can last.
Yeah.
And he's a great driver. So he knows
reigning champion as well.
Reigning champion, obviously. And so how did he progress? Because he started at 15th.
Yeah.
So how did he progress? When did he start really getting into the mix of things?
I mean, lap 12. So Hamilton was currently 6th at this point. Verstappen literally breezed past him like it was nothing.
Really? So within 12 laps, he went from 15th
into the top five.
That's amazing. I mean, that is absolutely amazing when you think this circuit is quite a fast circuit, though, isn't it? Yeah, it's one of the fastest circuits in the world. So,
and to keep in mind, last time they raced in Jeddah, Verstappen, he actually had to back off, he actually crashed into the barriers in the qualifying session.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's actually quite something.
I know.
And in terms of actually Russell, how was he doing?
Oh, he was doing pretty well, actually, compared to Hamilton. Because I'm there looking, and Hamilton's complaining, whereas Russell, taking it in his stride.
He's just getting on with it, isn't it? And that's what I like about Russell. He just gets on with it. He's actually a nice guy when he gives his interviews as well, which I really like.
Yeah.
So Verstappen obviously is now looking at Hamilton in his rear view mirror because he's got past him.
Yeah.
And he's bombing it. And then, so what did Ferrari do? What would they, so because Ferrari always end up doing things that a bit strange in just every race. So were there any particular interesting things that Ferrari were up to?
So lap 17, they actually brought Sainz into the pits for a tyre change.
Yep.
And it was actually quite lucky because on lap 18, Stroll DNF'd because there was smoke coming out of his car.
Okay.
And that brought the safety car.
Right. Okay. So it meant they could all bunch up and sort of take chance because when the safety car comes out,
it slows down
the race, and it also bunches the people up, and it also gives them an opportunity to pit as well if they want
Yeah, which is what the top six did.
Really?
So that being top six pitted. Yeah. That being Perez, Alonso, Russell, Verstappen, and Hamilton.
Oh wow!
Because Sainz obviously pitted the lap before.
Which
was quite lucky.
Yeah. So. They came out of the actual pits or with new tyres.
Yep.
Did Hamilton actually change his tyres to mediums?
Yes, he did.
He did, right? Okay. So all of a sudden, he's in normal tyres compared to everybody.
Yeah.
Like everybody else.
Because I remember this is the commentary, and they were saying the hard tyres are the medium tyres are much better suited than the hards.
Yeah, you'd have thought that actually Mercedes would have thought about that at the beginning of the race.
I know.
I mean, what is going on? Yeah. It reminds me of the last race in Brazil when Hamilton made that comment, please don't do this to me, guys.
Abu Dhabi.
He said, please don't do this to me, guys.
Yeah. And what happens, he has to retire because of the tyres.
Yeah, in the previous race, yeah. So, so when did the race resume then? So if it all went into the pit lanes, there must have been quite a long safety car.
So on lap 21 is when the race resumed.
Oh, right. Okay. So for a couple of laps, at least two laps at least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the way Shaw, because they had to get Shaw's car out of the way.
Okay, yeah, because there was a possibility a car might hit it because of the way it was sort of stopped. Okay, so they got rid of his car and he finished last.
And you're thinking, if it can happen to Shaw, then what are the chances of happening to Alonso?
Yeah, exactly. So the race resumes and then what happens?
So Perez is, and so obviously the top two are the same, Perez Alonso.
Yeah.
And so that was for a couple of laps. And then lap 22, Hamilton got back into the top five.
Wow.
Yeah.
So the tyre change worked for a change.
Yeah.
That's good. So he got ahead of Sainz basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got into fifth. What was Verstappen up to by this
time? Well, so by this time, it was actually Russell and Verstappen battling for the third place.
Oh, right. Okay.
And watching this, I was like, Russell's definitely the type of guy who won't give up easily.
No. He's a hard person to overtake. He's a very hard person to overtake. And eventually, obviously, I take it that, because the Red Bulls are really good cars.
Yeah, and the thing is, the Red Bulls had a better... On the straights, the Red Bulls are so much quicker than the Mercedes and the Ferraris.
Yeah. I heard somewhere where they were saying that when the DRS is in place, the car goes about 17 to 20 miles per hour faster, doesn't it? It's a phenomenal speed.
I know.
So Verstappen overtook Russell.
Yeah.
In, I think it was lap 23,
yeah,
is that
it was.
Right? Lap 23. And then Verstappen's obviously set his sights on Alonso.
Yeah.
And so basically you've got Perez, Alonso, Verstappen, Russell, and then Hamilton.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, so what happens next?
So then, obviously, with Verstappen, the speed the Rebels had, it was inevitable that Verstappen was going to breeze past Alonso, which did.
Did he actually breeze past, or was
yeah,
it
he
a
t- did.
It did, right, okay.
Yeah. And the thing is, Alonso just didn't even defend. He was like, just go ahead.
Yeah. He knows his car is not going to be able to match the Red Bull.
And then... Literally the next lap, Alex Albon comes in and he's like, I got brake failure.
Oh, God.
At this point, he was literally in the top 10.
Oh, wow. So he had to retire his car, didn't he? And then what happened? There was something funny about Alonso because Alonso had gone into the pits, didn't he?
So what happened was, so Alonso was leading. But he actually had a 5-second penalty because his car wasn't within his grid box.
You know what's really bad? I think there's somebody on his team who's got double-eyed vision or something, because how can you not position the car correctly? I mean, it's just madness, isn't it?
But the thing is, I actually saw the replay, and his car was literally just a fraction over.
Really?
Yeah.
Just a fraction.
I know.
And he lost 5 seconds because of that.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
And the thing is, he's the second driver to actually get a penalty, because in Bahrain, Esteban Ocon, who's his former teammate, he had the exact same thing happen to him, and he got a 5 second penalty for it.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. And so lap 29. Russell actually thought Alonso has still deserved his 5 second penalty.
All right, so he thought, okay, I'll keep up. I've got 5 seconds on my side. And yeah. He hadn't realised that he'd actually served his penalty. Yeah. Oh, my God.
And then as soon as he got it, he was like, oh, crap.
All right. I remember, because the guys were saying, you're wrong. He's already served it. He was really shocked. Oh. So he's there having to bomb it even more.
Yeah.
And then obviously you've got Hamilton bearing down on him, wanting to get ahead of him.
Yeah, and the team was like, because the team wanted Hamilton to go past Russell, but they changed their mind.
Yeah, but Russell was good. He was actually quite far out, and Hamilton just couldn't reach him, isn't it?
Yeah.
So basically, if you think about it, why should he give up his place? Because he has to slow down so much.
I know.
It's better to just keep it going, and hopefully Hamilton will catch up to you, which he didn't do, did he? He stayed in that position.
Yeah, so the thing is, so they said, yeah, and so obviously the few battles are happening behind the top 10. So there was a battle between Logan Sargeant, Joe Guanyu, and Nick DeVries, all fighting.
Okay.
Which was entertaining, I thought, because
they were very close. They were really on top of each other, weren't they? It was actually very, very, it was really entertaining. It was great. It was a great race, actually.
Yeah. And then on lap 39, Verstappen's complaining about the same part that cost him a qualifier or a grid place.
Yeah, I remember that. And the strange thing is, he's in second place,
yeah.
And you're thinking, will his car even survive? And the strange thing is, last season, you never thought like that. You thought, right, his car's just got to get to the end.
Yeah.
But this season, because of the qualifying and, I don't know, it's something about the fact that every time you think something goes wrong, it actually goes wrong. So now you've got him saying again, he thinks there's a problem with the drive shaft. I can just imagine all the people at Red Bull panicking, trying to think, what the hell is that?
Like, they were literally in a pure panic, I think.
Yeah. And it could be any sound, couldn't it? It could be anything.
No. But and he even said there was a high vibration. There's a high vibration sound in the car.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. And the speeds they're traveling at, that can be really, really dangerous.
Yeah. And then the thing is, on lap 41, Perez comes on the radio complaining about his brake pedal.
Oh my God.
And you're thinking, double whammy. Is it going to be a double whammy?
It was 50 laps, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It 50 laps. So literally, last 9 laps, you got both of Red Bulls. And you're thinking, will they even get to the finish line? And the other thing about it that I thought was really interesting, I mean, this is what I loved about this particular race, because if Perez wins, he gets equal points with Verstappen. So they were all so the race was actually who's going to get the fastest lap time. And
yeah.
and they were swapping over, they were trying
and,
so hard.
It was actually like a table tennis match, back and forth.
No sooner had Verstappen got a fastest lap time than Perez got a fastest lap time,
and then Verstappen going
it was brilliant,
and the
really
funny thing
fantastic.
Is they've actually asked the race engineers who has a what's the current lap time. Verstappen did a 32.6. Perez's race engineer came on the radio, and Perez actually asked him what's the fastest lap, 32.6, and then as soon as they should took the radio off, he matched Verstappen's lap time.
Wow, it really was fantastic. I mean, they were driving so fast. And the beauty of it was, they were really going for it.
I know.
They were really going for it.
And the thing is, if Perez won and had the fastest lap, he'll be leading the championship.
Exactly, exactly.
And when was the last time you saw a Mexican driver leading it?
It's been a long time.
I know.
Long time. So as the race got towards the end, who first of all which driver dropped out? DNF'd.
So it was still Albon and Stroll.
Oh, right, they both dropped out. Yeah,
but during the last five laps, we had a cracking battle between Logan Sargent, Lando Norris, and Oscar Piastri.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
And and there were a couple of times where Norris and Piastri were actually swapping places over as well.
Yeah, it's really good. It's very, very competitive. And sometimes, you know, it's a bit like when you look at football in the Premiership, the teams at the bottom of the league have the most competitive games and they're really on edge because at one point, all of a sudden, they go up 4 or 5 places.
Whereas and this time round, it wasn't like that.
Yeah, but with some of those drivers, you knew that just a small mistake and all of a sudden 2 cars could go in front of them. And that was it was absolutely phenomenal.
And so while they were battling for obviously the lot, even though it was for 15th, it was still entertaining.
It was, yeah.
Further up, Yuki Tsunoda and Kevin Magnussen were battling for 10th for the final points.
And what happened there?
So Magnussen, on lap 46, Magnussen overtook Tsunoda, and Tsunoda comes on the race and shouts like, "No!"
Right at the end, it was right at the end. Yeah,
because for so long he was hoping to get his first point in Grand Prix.
Yeah, his first point of the season. One of the other things that I thought was amazing was how this ping pong between
Perez
was actually who's going to have the fastest time. Perez one lap before gets the fastest lap, and you think right, he's done it, and then.
Last lap,
Verstappen just pulls out an amazing, amazing lap.
Yeah.
And gets the fastest time, and as a result, stays top of the championship. Yeah. And that was amazing. And obviously, it was a great race. It was a great race.
Yeah.
So the Perez was very much a deserved winner. I
agree. So then the race concluded, top three being Perez, Verstappen, Alonso, and then fourth and fifth was Russell and Hamilton.
That's right.
And then this is when the drama all folded.
There's always drama with these F1 races, aren't there?
But this was actually really bad. So after the race finished, at like 6:30.
Yeah.
Half an hour later, the stewards come saying Alonso gets a 10-second penalty because he didn't serve the 5-second penalty properly.
And the worst thing is, everybody celebrated Alonso getting on the podium for the first time, 10 years or something, wasn't it? It was a long time. It was his 100th podium. And the whole world was celebrating, it seemed. It was everywhere. All the news items, everywhere. Yes. Alonso, 100th podium.
And the thing is, Alonso even posted on Twitter, 100th podium.
Yeah.
Job done.
With his thumbs up saying, job's done. And then about half an hour later, it's like he's lost his position. It's like, what the hell? And you know, you think VAR's bad in terms of taking 4 minutes to make a decision. You would have thought they'd make a quicker decision.
I know.
And ideally make the decision before they decide who's going to be third.
Yes, and I'll tell you what the issue was. So obviously when the cars come in, they have a jackhammer.
Yeah.
The jackhammer touched Alonso's car. And they actually put the jackhammer touched his car while he was serving his 5-second penalty.
All right. Okay.
If the jackhammer touches the car, it's not considered to be working on the car.
Oh, right. Okay. So they basically got the rules mixed up, didn't they? So it wasn't a tool as such. It was actually just it just helps to align the car, doesn't it?
Yeah. And the thing is, apparently there was an agreement between the FIA and all teams that this was considered working, but Aston Martin said, no, it's not.
Yeah.
And so they actually appealed it.
Yeah.
And the worst thing is, they actually gave the podium to Russell, and Russell had actually taken a picture of it, posted on social.
Yeah, with the award. And the strange thing is, and this is I really like George Russell, because when he was awarded the third place, he actually said, "Look, it seems a bit unfair."
Oh, I agree. It seems a bit unfair. And he even said that Alonso deserves it more than he does.
Yeah, but then he said, "Wait, I don't mind."
Yeah,
I don't mind. He celebrated it.
And I saw Alonso's interview as soon as he found out, and he was like, "I celebrated the podium. I held it. What more could you ask for?"
Yeah, exactly. And then about 2 hours, it was quite late in the day, wasn't it?
Yeah,
late in the evening.
Yes, and then at 9:50 in the evening, our time, UK time, Aston Martin appeals their decision.
Okay.
To get Alonso reinstated to the podium.
Yep.
And then an hour later, gets reinstated.
Wow, that's amazing. And so the world was back to where it was before.
Yeah.
That is great. And I think one of the great things about this race is that Well, it was actually a great race. All the drivers seemed to have a good race. But one of the things I really liked about this race was there seems to be a lot more camaraderie at the moment between the teams, and a bit more respect, I think, between the teams, which is really good.
And it's also nice to see the underdogs come up.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that Alonso's in the top three is absolutely amazing.
For the second time this season.
Yeah, second time this season. It was absolutely amazing. It's phenomenal. And it kind of shows other teams they've got to really up their game. I mean, in particular, Ferrari.
I'll just say McLaren as well. Really? Because last year, McLaren were in the top five. This year, they're barely making into the top 10, which is unusual for them.
Yeah, that is very, very strange. That is very strange. So, given what's happened, we've had two races of the season so far. How do you think it's going to pan out over the next, you know, six, seven? Well, first of all, where's the next Grand Prix?
Australia, Albert Park.
Right, okay. And what do you think is going to happen there?
Well, I'm just hoping Ferrari get the engine sorted out.
Yeah, I think if Ferrari can really start to pull their weight a bit, sort themselves out, and get their strategy right as well, because we know they have a problem with getting their strategy right.
That's pretty much what summed up last year.
Because
the Ferrari, they were great in the first few races, and then after summer break, they were like, "What the strategies were all over the place."
Yeah, they kept getting it wrong. So Ferrari hopefully will come to the table and start actually showing that they are worthy competitors. It's going to be interesting because I think that Mercedes have actually they've recognised they've got to redo their car, haven't they? They've said the car is actually in a bad state, but they still finished fourth and fifth.
Yeah, and they're still saying is the car this year is better than last year, because last year the main issue they had was all the porpoising.
Yeah, that's right.
And that pretty much destroyed their whole race, the whole season
for them. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So. Ferrari, Red Bull, obviously everyone's going to be looking at Red Bull.
And Aston
everyone's
Martin.
Going to be looking at Aston Martin. Aston Martin, it's just weird. Alonso seems to be doing so well. It's just absolutely phenomenal. I still can't believe it. Even when I think about it, I can't believe it.
And I remember the comedy saying 41 is the new 25.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, because he's 41 years old. Yeah. What do you think McLaren are going to do?
I honestly have no idea how McLaren are going to do the season after two disappointing races.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of pressure on them to get into at least the top 10, isn't it? Mm. I mean, if they can't finish in the top 10, you do start to wonder how will they survive for the next five, six
races.
And in terms of Ferrari, do you think they can turn their season around?
They've done it in the past. As long as they don't blow up the strategies, I think they've got a good chance.
Yeah.
And as long as they didn't have any more engine failures as well, because that's what costed them the race win in Bahrain. Because in Bahrain, Leclerc was actually second up until the engine got fried up.
Yeah, it's actually very difficult for Ferrari because I bet you their guys are thinking, please don't drive too hard. Please don't drive as fast as that, because the engine might go.
Yeah.
And when you're on edge like that, that can actually change the whole season.
And keep in mind that Leclerc's already had the 10 place grid penalty. And I'm pretty sure if they have changed the engine again, he's going to get another one. Because they're only allowed two engine changes per season.
Season, yeah. It's going to be really interesting. Okay. Anything else of interest regarding F1?
Well, not really, no, but I actually think that F1 needs to sort this issue out where if they're going to do the penalties, they need to do it during the race, not after when the podium celebrations are done.
Yeah, I think there needs to be something like that, because it was a bit of a farce, wasn't it? I mean, the worst thing is even George Russell said it was harsh. Even the drivers are saying, look, this is a bit silly. So you would think they would have resolved it way before, if it's that obvious. But hey-ho, so the next race is when?
Australia.
When is it?
So that's going to be in the end of the month.
All right, so in a couple of weeks' time, or about 10 days' time. Excellent. So thank you very much for listening. Hope you enjoyed that. And so it's goodbye from me and...
Goodbye from Stats.
Thanks. Bye.